Let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll just tell you guys, the Right Side Way monologue brought to you every single day by attorney Stan McDonald. Oh yeah, Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. He is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. All right, so I got to tell you, you know, sometimes there's a log jam, right? There's a log jam that just can't seem to be broken. And then all of a sudden, that one voice, that one personality with the strength of will and courage of the conviction steps into the mix and the log jam breaks up. I'll never forget. I mean, sometimes it's like just localized, like a thing that happens just where you are. Like, I'll never forget one such guy for us. It was Baghdad, 2004. My team was attached to an infantry battalion in central Baghdad under the 1st Cavalry Division. So we're outside the wire like every day. No matter what the cause of the time, whether it be a cordon and search, raids, goodwill patrols, we called them, or visiting a local school to establish rapport, it doesn't matter. We always had an interpreter with us. My team traveled with an interpreter. And my team had two terps, one in Baghdad, one of whom was an Iraqi bodybuilder named Yusuf. The guy was huge. He was, in fact, one of the biggest dudes I've ever met, like the biggest one man I ever stood next to. He was roughly 6'4", 6'5". He was well over 300 pounds. His arms were as big as my thighs. And look, I'm not small by any stretch, but Yusuf, he could make any guy feel anemic standing right next to him. And he had one of these big lantern jaws and a sharp gaze that could look like freeze a guy in his tracks. But he would also crack a smile and laugh just as quick. He was also a Christian. I remembered learning that he taught himself much of his English by having two Bibles, one in English and one in Arabic, and he would actually go back and forth, reading between the two to see what the words were. And it made his day, by the way, when I had Charlene help me get him a Gold's Gym sweatshirt in like 4XL, if I recall. He wore it all the time. But on one particular day, we were in a spot in which the deputy division commander, a one-star, showed up. He was walking past us, and he looked over at Yusuf, who was standing there next to me wearing this old maxed-out flak jacket. I don't know where he got it to fit, barely fit him, looking huge. And the general stopped in his tracks and said, "Who are you?" And without blinking, Yusuf just pointed at me and said, "His bodyguard." To which the general said, "I believe that," and walked on. As good as it was to have Yusuf working as an interpreter, though, I gotta say, he was legendary when it came time to get folks to do something that was needed. It didn't take much. I mean, more than once I saw him wade into an angry Arabic mob and just say some emphatic words, and people would look at him and just do whatever he said. Like, for instance, traffic jams were notorious. If any of y'all were in Baghdad in the early part of the war, you know that Baghdad, basically the tactical version of being in a traffic jam in Baghdad, was awful. It was a tactical no-no to get stopped in the streets because suddenly you were a target. It was truly dangerous. So one particular day, though, on one of the worst sections of a Baghdad slum, the traffic was so snarled up and congested that my team's gun trucks were literally jammed in and we couldn't move. So I was out on foot yelling and pointing my weapon at certain drivers who didn't seem to get my sense of urgency, right? I couldn't get anybody to move. Total log jam. Until one of them all of a sudden got real wide-eyed, looking right past me, and I turned to see Yusuf, who was coming in between the cars and telling people something in Arabic, and whatever he said, it was matched by the sudden clearing of the intersection. And things like that happened all the time. Like a major operation we had in an area called Sadr City in Baghdad. It was an ugly area. Shots being fired, explosions going off, and Yusuf grabbed a bullhorn and got 150 civilians into a safe zone and under control. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, we all had some great Yusuf stories, and he made a huge difference for our team. Pun intended, huge difference. But I tell you that story just to sort of break the ice on the fact that what I'm trying to convey today in my monologue is that sometimes one man can make a difference. Sometimes one man can, in fact, actually make a difference in the logjam or breaking up the flow of something or bringing things around to a solution. And he or she, for that matter, doesn't have to be the size of my giant friend Yusuf for it to happen. There's historical data to back this up. I mean, literally, there have been times in history where everything changed because one person stood. One person stood and rallied others. And they stood in the gap and they made a difference. Like, you've all heard the story of the Spartan warriors who stood in the gap against the mighty Persian army, right? I know you have. But have you heard about what it actually meant? Because you see, it was bigger than that one battle. You might look at it in history and think that was a neat battle. No, that was a moment in time that changed time. The mighty Persian army had decided it wanted to take Greece. King Xerxes, the Persian king, he was considered to be a living god among the Persians, and he wanted to conquer the known world in his own name. His army was vast, it numbered in the millions. And Xerxes, he marched on Greece, which at the time was really not one nation. Greece was a bunch of city-states, each with their own culture and governments. They were not united. And Sparta was just one of those city-states, and it was a warrior culture. And the men of Sparta were trained from childhood to be fighters, and when Xerxes came marching, the king of Sparta was a man named Leonidas. But the laws of Sparta were also very rigid, and the war was coming at a time when the Spartans were in the middle of their holiest month, and the Spartan Senate forbade Leonidas from marshaling the armies. But the law did allow that the king could muster 300 troops, 300, at any given time without approval from the Senate. So that's what he did. Small groups of other soldiers from other cities also came, but the leader of the whole tiny band of warriors was Leonidas. And he chose his battlefield. He chose a place that the Greeks called the Hot Gates. It was at a pass near the sea called Thermopylae. It was so narrow, so confined, that the mighty Persian army, as large as it was constrained, and they could only fight a few at a time in waves. There's actually a few quotes, even though this battle took place in ancient history, there's actually a few quotes from that battle that are considered to actually have been real, to have been accurate. They were recorded for history. The quotes were, in one instance, a Persian emissary approached the Spartans. He demanded they surrender, saying, "Don't you know our archers are so many their arrows will block out the sun?" To which Leonidas's captain, Deinikes, said, "That's good. Then we'll fight in the shade today." Epic. But the most famous and true line is when another emissary from Xerxes called on Leonidas to surrender, told him to lay down his weapons, and Leonidas said simply, "Molon labe," which means come and take it. That small band of Spartans and their allies fought for 7 days. They put such a beating on the Persians that stories have lasted for centuries about their fight. And yes, eventually the overwhelming size and the force of the Persian army was able to surround the Spartans and they were wiped out. But, their fight is said to have galvanized the rest of the Greek city-states. And they rallied to the fight. And they allied themselves together. And the Persians were turned back completely and Xerxes was actually defeated and Greece became a unified nation. And from Greece, we also find the origins of what we now call the Western world and the origins of democracy. And some would say that it was because of Leonidas and his 300 who stood in the hot gates at Thermopylae that we have a democracy in America today. Think about that. If Leonidas had just accepted the idea that Xerxes was too big, or the mission was too tough, or the battle was too large, we might all be speaking Persian Farsi right now, listening to what the Ayatollahs have to say. And one man rallied a few, and the few stood in the gap, and the world was changed. Just like that. And I say all that, too, because of some current events that are unfolding that are bigger than the one person whose name is actually on the fight. The story right now coming out of the state of Maine, a great story. We've been keeping you posted on it. Maine State Representative Laurel Libby, one person, standing in the gap for the girls of her state. And she's going to be on the show again here later today. But her stand has been epic. You see, she dared to go against the grain as one person, standing up to the political powers that be in her state and say that transgender dudes should not be able to play in girls' sports. How dare she? She was officially censured by her state house and forbidden to speak or vote on the floor of the house, despite being a duly elected representative of tens of thousands of Mainers. She told them to go pound sand. Took it all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, and yesterday the Supreme Court ruled in her favor, and she is now back at work. One woman, standing in the gap. And she achieved a national legal determination that on the one hand appears to have just been her personal win, right? But it was so much more. It was a win for all the girls in Maine. It was a win for the Republicans in Maine who supported her. But it was even bigger than that. The decision was really a win for every elected official in the entire United States who's ever been silenced by the mob. Literally, think about this. The decision was a win for every elected official in the entire United States who has ever been silenced for daring to speak up. You see, the mob told her to be quiet and she said no. And the mob told her to sit down, and she said no. They told her she could not vote, and she said no. And the governor and the speaker of the house, even the court system in her state, all told her to get in line and be a good little sheep. And she chose to push back. And she went all the way to the by God Supreme Court, and she proved that standing in the gap still works. We need more of that kind of leadership in these days. I'm telling you, we do. We need it for the right way forward. We need to know that our elected officials will evidence the strength of will and serve as statesmen like that. We need people who will actually break the log jams, make a difference. I'm telling you, you do it, you'll be a hero. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.